Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Well, friends, welcome to the podcast today. This is the place where we get a chance to interview leaders and innovators and entrepreneurs and new friends at the intersection of the Bible and technology, looking ahead at what's to come as well as seeing what's happening right now in this space, the future now. Usually, as you guys know, I have a co-pilot, DJ Chuang, by my side, but because of time zones, I think actually with today's interview, we literally span half the globe in terms of time zones. So DJ will be returning into the seat next time, but in the meantime, I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. Today we have Michael Cohen with us. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Kenny.
So, Michael, you are with a very interesting venture, but first, geographically, you are several time zones ahead of me, as I said. Where are you dialing in from today?
Well, I live in Israel. I am in the Valley of Elah, where David had his little spat with Goliath.
Yes, a little spat.
Well, yeah, here that's what it looks like. And my backyard, we see from Hebron all the way to Bethlehem. So we have all of David's world. Wow. Right in our region.
That's fantastic. And the project adventure you're with is nano.bible, www.nano.bible. If you're playing along today, you can pull that website up on your mobile phone or on your desktop, laptop as we go through and just explore Michael's site. As we go forward, Michael, just give us the elevator pitch of what this Nano.Bible site is, the Jerusalem Nano Bible Foundation. Tell us just, what is the purpose of your organization? What's the mission and vision there?
Well, the mission is to allow people to fulfill Deuteronomy 6. On Sinai, God gave Moses, in my family, I'm a direct descendant of Aaron. So in my family, he's Uncle Mo. So God gave Uncle Mo the tablets. And he said, take these words and use them as a sign. Use them as a memory. Put them on your arm. Put them on your head. Put them on your doorpost. So since then, Jews have been trying to synthesize the words of the Bible in such a way that they could carry it with them always. So it started with a little schmear in Jewish of blood on the doorpost. And then when they were able to create amulets made out of copper or gold, they would scratch some words or letters into that and carry that with them. And then when papyrus became more popular, we started writing things on papyrus, selected sections. And that's where it stands to this day. Little pieces of papyrus worn on the head, worn on the arm, placed on the doorpost. Several years ago, with the advent of nanotechnology and the advent of microchips and other kinds of silicon, which is actually just sand, they realized that they could conduct electricity and sound and video through these things. A gentleman said, well, if we could put millions of circuits on this sand, why can't we put the whole Bible on this sand and make it small enough so that everyone could have a Bible with them 24 hours a day with no issues? Not a readable Bible, but a spiritual Bible, a physical Bible.
Absolutely.
Carry the words with them. The same way as not the whole Bible was written on the tablets, the same thing. There was a spiritual connection between man and God, and we received the Bible in a different way.
Yes, and it's in the shared text between the Jewish faith and the Christian faith of the Pentateuch, right? The first five books of our Christian Bible, where in Deuteronomy,
We hear the words written here, right? Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. I love the fact that...
Which means carried with you physically.
Yes.
Not just spiritually, but physically have these words with you. And we haven't been able to do that. And that's basically the intersection between Bible and technology.
That, I think, is really cool. How did you come upon this project? Were you already in the nanotechnology field, or did you come from the other side?
I've been doing a lot of different things. Several years ago, the Technion, Israel's MIT or Caltech, printed a Bible on a piece of silicon the size of a grain of sugar. And they gave one to the Pope. They gave one to the Library of Congress. There's one in the Israel Museum, and so on. They only have five of those. And a gentleman who was a photojournalist said, I want one too. His name is Ami Bentov. And Ami said to the university, I want one. They said, give us $500,000 and we'll make one for you. So he said, no, I want one that we can, I want everybody to have one.
Right.
And they said, we can't do that. This is, every word is sketched in there and it takes months to make each one. So he went on a quest to try and figure out how he makes something that's priced for everyone. Anybody could have it, no matter where they are. It's not an expense that breaks any bank. And he figured it out. It took him 2 years, and together with a company called Tower Jazz Semiconductor, the company that makes our SIM cards and our memory cards and all these little things that keep our memories and our computers and our phones running, they took the exact same technology and they printed a Bible. That's only, like I said, 4.77 by 4.77 millimeters, which is approximately 0.19 inches by 0.19 inches. Just to give you a sense of what it looks like, the text, a human hair, a typical human hair, in nano terms, nano just means small.
Right.
Nano terms, a human hair is 100,000 nanometers wide. So let's say you would take a football field of 100 meters, 100 yards, 1,000 football fields is a strand of hair. Every letter on this Bible is 600 yards.
Wow.
That's like 6 football fields.
That is quite amazing. And was there any pushback at the very beginning when you start to conceptualize this and put this into motion?
You know, people looked at it and said, it became a litmus test on spirituality.
Sure.
The person who was a technocrat, who was a, you know, they read the Bible in a very, I don't want to offend, you know, it's not Methodists. It's in a methodic way, and we're reading words as opposed to spiritual content, you know. They looked at it and said, okay, great, so what? Those who have a very deep spiritual connection went, wow. I've had pastors say, oh, I feel a preaching coming on. And I would say, pastor, if you only hear one, we have a problem.
This is, I think, fascinating of how this came to be. One of the other things that you do actually for people of the Christian faith is you have a New Testament version, I believe, right, that you are envisioning to be able to
make. We have, yes. So the idea, when people from the Christian faith actually expressed tremendous interest, the problem was, which version do we print?
Of course.
So the consensus was, if we do the Textus Receptus, which is the original Greek version.
Original Greek, yep.
In original Greek, that pretty much settles the argument. So the New Testament is in Greek, and the Jewish Bible, which you would call the Pentateuch, plus all of the prophets and all of the writings, which means Psalms and Esther and Nehemiah and Chronicles, all of those are in Hebrew.
Nice. And then on the Hebrew Bible side, it is not just the Torah, right? You have the entire, I believe in your faith, you have, is it 22 dozen books, right? That are included.
Correct. So like I said, it includes the five books of Moses plus all the stories in Joshua and in Kings and in Samuel and Esther and Psalms, etc.
Fantastic. So how long has this been in production, available in the marketplace so far?
This is the fourth year. 2019 is going to be the fourth year. The first 3 years were, the first year was a test. What, you know, how are people going to react to this? And the following 2 years was about how do we bring it to the public? And it was meeting with designers of jewelry, people who make giftware, and to be able to make it available in some sort of container that people would love, a beautiful piece of jewelry,
right,
a coin with the names of the different books on it, giftware and memorabilia. This year, 2019, is going to be dedicated to communal work. We're going to be setting up at nano.bible. It's going to change dramatically over the next couple months, and it's going to become more of a GoFundMe project where people will be able to buy one for themselves or for a friend, or give one to a list of different people who deserve to have one, but we don't want to ask them to buy it. Firefighters, police officers, members of the military. And we've designed it in such a way that they could wear it on their arm, just like it says in Deuteronomy 6, with a little piece of Velcro under the patch that they wear, either when it's sewn on or when the patch has Velcro. Like the soldiers now wear their flag on their arm with Velcro. So we've designed it so it could fit over there. We're also running a project similar to, we're trying to find the right partners. We're working with a few. There was a project a few weeks ago about putting a wreath on every tomb in the United States. What we'd like to do is we're looking for the right partners. Every soldier, every fallen American soldier, and this can be done in Canada, in the United States, in any country that respects the Bible, putting a Bible together with the cross, or a Jewish Bible together with the Jewish symbol in the military ceremonies. And that way that it's the spiritual connection between that sentence that God said to Moses about keeping it with you all the time. If we put an actual Bible, like a Gideon Bible, it'll get destroyed. This won't get destroyed. The elements don't affect it. And that way we can take that a step further as well. The idea is to give it to those who deserve it.
Right.
I will work with schools and with veterans organizations and with 4-H clubs and anyone who wants to participate.
Now, this is more than just aesthetics for people. How and on our show, we look at how technology is allowing new formulations of engagement experiences with the scripture. How would you say the dynamic changes for someone who does carry it on their arm daily, or is able to have the entire canon carried with them? What have you seen in terms of personal spirituality or just their conceptual relationship with the Bible?
Well, think of the symbolism we already have in biblical faith. If you take Catholic or Eastern Orthodox churches, you have a tremendous amount of iconic visibility and visuality. The priest will wear a collar or a color. As they go up the ranks, they'll change their colors. There's a tremendous amount of visual aid in religious practice.
Mm-hmm.
In the Protestant or Jewish areas, you'll see a lot less of an icon or a cross, but you will see people will carry some sort of religious symbol with them. In the Jewish side, many of those who live in a community where they've seen practicing Jews, they see that they wear head covering of some kind, or they will wear fringes, just like it says, you know, wear the fringes, one of them should be blue. So even in biblical narrative, there was always a necessity to create symbolism. God could have given the people of Israel food or the ability not to need food, but he created a symbol. He sent them the manna. He didn't have to give Moses two tablets.
Right.
He could have just said it. But there's a necessity for humanity to have symbols. Where I wear my kippah or my head covering, I asked my dad when I was a teenager, what if I'm someplace I shouldn't be wearing it? Or it's dangerous for me to wear it? His answer was, if you shouldn't be wearing it, you shouldn't be there. It gives you a constant reminder, and that's the whole purpose of it, of who I am, a puny human being, and there's a God above, and I, in my actions as a human of faith, I represent the creator of heaven and earth, and I have to behave that way. If I'm going to get angry with somebody over a parking spot, and he's going to see that I'm a person of faith because I'm wearing the head covering, I have to act differently than I would if I just burst out. That's why priests wear collars, and that's why people walk around with crosses or with other Christian symbols. People carry a St. Christopher's medal that has very strong spiritual connotations, and some people say powers. And we're taking the Bible and adding that to the mixture. People could take a whole Bible, attach it to a St. Christopher's medal. I was down in a training venue for U.S. Marines on the way to the Middle East, to Iraq, and I gave them out to the soldiers to see what they would do. And after they stopped crying, which was their initial reaction, each one did something different. One decided to put it on the back of their family picture. One put it in the rubber, they have a very heavy rubber band around their helmet, and one of them put it in there. Another person put it on his St. Christopher's medal. And one guy said, could I send it home to mom to put on one of her pieces of jewelry? And I said, no. And he said, why? So I said to him, well, I'll give you another one for her. And the impact was absolutely stunning. You know, it could be viewed now at the Museum of the Bible in Washington.
Yes.
We're working on a full exhibit explaining all of it and what it means. And when you stand there watching people react, whether they're homeschooled or whether they're in a Sunday school, anyone who's connected, the younger they are, the more they connect with this because they understand it's a language that they really identify with.
It's interesting in our culture that we've gone so digital that even in churches, so many churches aren't providing pew Bibles in the back of the pews anymore. Physical Bibles aren't carried. Everyone's, depending on YouVersion or their smartphone. And here you're using technology, and it's quite ironic that's going the other way. It's an elevation of the text physically that is quite interesting, right? It's a different dynamic of what you're doing to the text.
Right. So I told you about the future now, about the plans for 2019.
Yeah.
But I'll give you another piece of future now. It's already available, but we haven't implemented yet. The Bible will become a portal for children to go into the Bible, like a Harry Potter portal. And they'll click on it with their smartphone or their tablet, and it'll take the world them into their world. They'll put in their security code, and they'll be able to play biblical games, and they'll be able to bring up any one of a dozens of different biblical texts and versions, and they'll be able to go on a virtual tour of where the Bible took place. And all these things already exist. We're just mixing and matching the partners. And like any other app, you know, the first 3, 4, 5 stages will be for free, and then the different companies will pitch their wares.
Right.
But again, it's a way of bringing the interaction with the Bible to people in a way that is very, very understandable to the modern world.
So I just want to remind people just how small this is. That if you, I think on your site, I saw there was a picture of a U.S. penny, and then one of the jewelry pieces was smaller. Just to share everybody's, you know, give them some creative illustration in their mind. The text is so small. Is it something that you have a reader or a magnifying glass that would the human eye be able to actually read the text if they were able to magnify it up again?
Yeah, you could go to any university nanotechnology lab, and I've yet to find the university that hasn't gone, wow, bring it in. I'd love to see that. But you need a university-grade microscope in order to see it, and that's why we placed one at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, because many people wanted to see that. But if, yeah. Kenny, if you tell people, let's tell your listeners to look at their pinky, at the nail on their pinky.
Yep.
Right? A typical nail on a typical pinky is going to be twice as large as this Bible. Twice as large. So basically every piece of jewelry that somebody has, or every piece of memorabilia that they may have, it fits almost everywhere because it's just a tiny gem. I look at it as a gem for the 21st century, because the greatest gem ever created is the Bible. And here's a Bible that could be used as a diamond, as a gem.
Now, if you are interpreting Deuteronomy that way, why use jewelry or Velcro or something? Why not insert the microchip? We do that with dogs and other animals, and in military, they're inserting chips into the skin. That application is available. It's safe. It's widespread. Why not go that direction?
That's for the user to decide. I'm not going to go violate people's. But that's definitely future now. If somebody wanted to do that, that's their right. And it has 7 layers of protection above and 2 underneath, even though it's only, what did we say, 0.000352 ounces. So it has no weight.
Yeah. So small that Guinness recognized you guys as well, right? The Guinness Book of World Records.
As the smallest Bible, it's a candidate for the smallest Bible ever printed on one surface.
That must be fun. Tell us about how we can bring the Heroes Project to our community here in the States or anywhere people are listening.
Well, that's the great part, is that working with chambers of commerce, working with schools, working with churches, it's a project that a community could take and utilize at any level. It could be a small thing that they just want to do for a few veterans that they want to honor. Congress in the United States has actually enacted several years ago, 2007, a First Responders Appreciation Day, September 25th, and it hasn't taken off. Some of the counties we've been talking about have said, you know what, that's a great idea. Let's have a big ceremony on September 25th, honor our first responders, and have the students in the county, the youth in the county, the different youth movements, the 4-H club, have them honor the first responders and learn an important lesson, not only in humility, but also in the fact that we have to give thanks to those who sacrifice every single day for our ability to be safe and, you know, go to football games, baseball games, or whatever it is that we do. So all they have to do is contact us, and we'll work with them to develop what's right for them. If it's for their school, if it's for their church, if it's for their Bible teaching, it doesn't matter if it's 5 people or 10,000 people.
Well, that's fantastic. One of the questions that we ask our guests here is, if you had a magic wand, if we give you magic wands and technology is not something you're waiting for to catch up with and resources is not a problem, what's the one thing you would love to see happen? Well, you would wave your magic wand in terms of engagement with the scriptures. What's the one thing I think in your mind, you've got one of the most creative outlets right now. I'm interested to hear, what would you do with that magic wand?
Well, I'll be very Jewish, and the word is chutzpah. Many of you have heard it. I'll ask for two. Two tablets, so I'll ask for two. And hopefully you'll indulge me. The first one would be somehow bringing elements of the Museum of the Bible to every community of faith.
Yeah.
Their ability to exhibit and their ability to explain and their ability to bring down to earth very, very difficult historic concepts is simply stunning. And they have elements that travel. And if I had a wand, I would make sure that they appeared everywhere instantaneously.
That museum, right? Let's do a plug for that. That's just one of the most technologically advanced museums in the world. And it's just absolutely visually stunning, even as you walk in, right? From ceiling to floor, that place is engaged.
Kenny, even beforehand, because the ceiling of the subway stop going up is also an exhibit.
Yes, yes. So if you're listening here and you haven't had a chance to trek to the White House and Washington, D.C. and all the standard tourist traps, one place that is really should be on the top of that list is Museum of the Bible. Fantastic. I think most people are caught off guard just how they think of a Museum of the Bible as something boring and dry. And then when they get in there, their jaw drops and they just want to stay there for forever. I've seen it a couple times, and I just keep wanting to go. I want to go back and go back and back. So that's a great.
I've spent days there just walking
around. And your Nano Bible is there on display that we can actually see in person if you don't have one locally.
Correct. We're creating now an actual large display, but it is available. It is available there.
Great.
The second thing that I would do with my wand is something my wife wants, is a 15-second spot on at the Super Bowl, where Indiana Jones finds the Ark of the Covenant, and he opens it up, and a finger comes out with a Nano Bible, and he says, "What am I supposed to do with that?" And then he puts it on his arm. He said, "Oh, now I get it."
I think you should create that spot. I think that would be a very, very viral spot that goes wild.
Yeah. So, again, the Museum of the Bible have their own Indiana Jones, who takes people through the world of the Bible on various different video screens. And so they even have a character for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Harrison Ford, if you listen to this, we challenge you to contact Mike and I, and we can make that happen. Well, thank you so much for dropping by and sharing about all the exciting things you're doing with physically technology and the Bible. I just love hearing about it. I hope that everyone gets a chance to visit nano.bible to see what you're doing, both with the Jewish text and the Christian text. Hope we have a chance to revisit with you again soon here on Future.Bible again.
My pleasure, Kenny. Thank you so much. And
thank
what
you
you're doing is fantastic.
Again.
Thank you.
Thank you for that conversation. And thank you for our audience for listening to our episode today. Please let us know what your thoughts and reflections are about today's interview at Future.Bible. We're always looking for your suggestions for future shows. We want your input. We want to become the number one show where you drop in and meet innovators like today, ready to talk about how they are using technology creatively at the bleeding edge so that we can have a much more practical engagement experience with the text, all for real life change in the end. So till next time, I'm Kenny Jang. We'll have DJ Chuang back in the seat as a co-pilot. Really excited to bring him back. Be blessed, and remember to be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.Bible podcast.